In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are continuing with the in the role of the priest in the divine will. We're on page, 254. This is the decree from Archbishop Karata. He was a great, he was on fire for Luisa. He said, he told us that when he was a seminarian, they were studying the documents of Luisa in the seminary. And he said he knew all about Luisa, and to become archbishop was such a great blessing for him of Trani. Here in 1987, I was there, I think, in 86. And when this came out, we all joined the association, Luisa Picaretta. It was a great time, to know Archbishop Karata, to see the fire that he had in his eyes when he talked about Luisa. So he says, this is the documents from the Archdiocese of Trani. He was the Archbishop of Nazareth at Barletta in Biscaglia. Okay, so this is March 4th, 1987. And he says, we consider as a perennial and authentic gift of the Holy Spirit to the Church of Christ, the rising and the spreading according to the times' needs of movements, of groups, of associations, which identify and appreciate the various charisms poured for the benefit of the community. So here he saw the fire that was there of the all over the world of Luisa, and way back then. And which contribute to the perfection of the Christian life. So he saw that everyone who was reading the writings of Luisa at the time, there wasn't much at that point, but they were, their Christian life was being magnified. It was so beautiful, as well as to the authentic and ever-growing witnesses in the world, to the most humble and charitable service, and to the most fraternal communion. And still to this day, the Archbishop asks that we have unity. The newest Archbishop, Archbishop DeCenzo, says the same thing. We need to have patience. We need to have unity. This is what the Vatican looks at. The Vatican looks at, how are you guys getting along? And, you know, there's different groups, there's different styles, and what we have to know, and this is what Archbishop Piccieri said before he died. He said he wanted us to enter the little family of Luisa. And, way back then, you know, in 87, we were having prayer groups, and, what was such a delight, was this, this little family of Luisa. And we started way back then on August 15th, the reunion of the families of Luisa. And this, we're going to have another reunion. It's going to be a little different place this time. We're going to be at, Malvern on August 13th, 14th, and 15th. And, this, we're going to, celebrate the gathering of the little children of the divine will. It's to really know your family and to fall in love with new members of the family. And it's just so beautiful. So he says, the highest gratitude to God, our Father. We know a special abundance of this gift to the Holy Spirit and our beloved church community in the period after Vatican Council, which we undoubtedly defined as a spring for the church. I remember I was a seminarian back at, well, in 1975, I went for the Holy Year, and I ran into a cardinal, and he says, you know, I went up to him and he says, so what do you do? You know, he was speaking in English at the time. And I said, well, I'm a seminarian. And he looked at me and he said, the spring is close. It's close. It's coming. This life of the church is coming. It was just so wonderful to hear a cardinal say the spring is close. And now with Luisa, it's here. that's the beauty of Louisa. It's not we're waiting for it. We're waiting for the events to occur. But as you read, you're in the divine will. As you begin to enter into this, you're in the divine will. The fullness is not here yet. This fullness that's coming. So he says, a spring for the church, observing as the fruit of a deeply lived experience within the church, according to the dictates of the Second Vatican Council, blooming of pious associations and of movements and of certain Christian Catholic inspiration through which the faithful live more visibly the mystery of the communion with Christ. So this oneness that's happening that we're living in is, I know a lot of people are panicking and they're upset because of what's happening. God's in charge. God is in charge. God is, the Lord, and, he knows what he's doing. And in the church, we have to trust in him. When we become afraid and worried or fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, we're basically saying to God, you know, you're out of control. You're not in control of this. Look at the world. It's falling apart. It seems to be falling apart, but in reality, he's getting everything in order. And you can hear this with what the Archbishop is saying. He says, with highest gratitude, God our Father, we note a special abundance of this gift to the Holy Spirit in our beloved church community in a period after Vatican Council, which we undoubtedly define as a spring, a new beginning for the church, observing as the fruit of a deep lived experience within the church, according to the dictates of the Second Vatican Council, the blooming of the pious associations and movements of certain Christian Catholic inspiration through which the faithful live a more visibly of the mystery of the communion with Christ, participating responsibly in the life of the church and perform functions and ministries with awarenesses and competence in the harmony and unity and charity. So this is how we're supposed to be. The readings for today, you know, if you get what you dish out. You know, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you're going to get that back. You know, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you're going to get that back as well. And as you read the Book of Heaven, everything's changing. Everything's changing in the world. Your family is changing. Our nations are changing. The universe is changing as we read the Book of Heaven, because these words that were dictated to Louisa by Jesus himself show us very clearly God is in charge and God's got plans. And we're in them. And to be Catholic, that's the greatest thing in the world. To have this fullness of the faith is the greatest thing in the world. The sacraments and sacramentals, we have Jesus, and we can spend our time in front of him, looking at Jesus in the monstrance, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, falling in love with him. This is a great, and even if you don't have a place in your parish for Eucharistic adoration, you can go to the internet and look up perpetual adoration. Be with Jesus every day. That's what Louisa would say to Jesus. I am never going to leave you alone. I will always be with you. And this is a way of proving that to Jesus by spending time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So he says, among these associations, one called the Little Children of the Divine Will was recently established in Corrado. Its main purpose is the Christian education in the ascetic prayer, perfection of the spirit and the practice of community prayer of its members. In the light, in the example, in the teachings of the writings of the Dominican, the Third Order Dominican Louisa Picaretta, who died in the Order of Sanctity in Corrado in 1947. So here he's pointing this out, and this is so great. This is so amazing that we can be part of this association, the canonically approved association that Archbishop Corrado brought about in 1987. Therefore, having examined the request, which we received by the promoter, Sister Assunta, and she just died about a month ago, in the name of all the supporters on February 15th, 1987, having examined and approved the statutes containing the purpose of the association, the instrument for the education and organisms in direction of other basic norms, as well as the epistolic projection of the association. Laid down in Canon Law 299, 2 and 3, 300, etc. We recognize that as established, we praise and recommend that we give our consent that it be honored with the name of pious or Catholic. The pious association. Now it's even more now. There's been more blessings that have been given to this pious association, Luisa Picaretta, Little Children of the Divine Will, the center in Corrado, the Archdiocese of Trinidad Barletta Biscaglia in Nazareth. And now she was on the Nazareth street. Now the street now is named Via Luisa Picaretta. We were there when that happened, when they changed it. Luisa's being more recognized and loved. So the established association will be ruled by the general norms of the canon 2321 and 326 by the above mentioned statutes, which we approved in full uniformity and submission to the divine volition, which appear to us clear in this through the signs of the times, through the favor and the supporters of their beneficial fruits in the apostolic field. We encourage and exhort all to continue in their good intentions of sanctity and ministry for the Holy Church, sustained by the copious celestial blessings given in Trani from our Apostolic Palace on the 4th of March, 1987, on the 14th anniversary of the pious transition of Luisa Picaretta. Now we're going to do something get ready for Luisa's 77th anniversary of her pious transition from earth to heaven, to earth to eternity. We're going to ask that this day is going to be, we're going to pray that this day be a day where we ask the Lord to send his holy angels to the communities of the pious communities, the holy communities on earth. And that's every place where we are reading the writings of Luisa. This is where we're focusing on this, but it's for everyone. But those who are reading the writings of Luisa, we're going to ask that the angels seal those communities to, it's like covering those communities. Remember when Jesus said on the way to, what do we call it? Palm Sunday, when he was riding, he said, I wanted to hide you under my wings as a mother hen hides her children, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't obey. Now I think after 2,000 years, now that with Luisa, we need this more than ever. We need this protection. And this is why we are confident in God. We're trusting in God. We're hoping in God. And we're going to pray that our communities, all our holy communities, be protected, be sealed, be guarded by the holy angels so that the evil one cannot, as Jesus says, you'll be invisible to them. They cannot harm the children of God. It's like entering the ark. Noah's entering into the ark. He built the ark for 120 years. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at. He was spit upon. He kept on building a boat in the desert. But it was more than a boat. It was a cruise liner. And they're laughing at him, mocking him. And he was just listening to God and enters the boat, closes the doors. He sealed the boat first. The last thing you do is seal the boat with the tar on the outside and even some parts on the inside so no water leaks in. And he sealed the boat. He gets in the boat, the ark, and the rains come. What we're asking is that we be sealed. The angels seal us, protect us. Take care of us in these times that we're in, because it's going to get tough. I'm telling you, it's going to get really bumpy. And the people laughed at Noah. They laughed at Noah, and he got everybody into the boat, and the rains came. I do believe that the time that we're in right now is not to panic. It's not doom and gloom. We want our communities to be, see, as everything else is falling apart, what was happening in the ark? Noah's ark, they were being tossed by the waves, but they didn't get wet. They were tossed by the waves, but they had plenty of food, plenty of they could rest. They could take it easy as the boat's moving all over the place. The same thing for us. We want our communities to be living this fullness. And some of the saints have said that those communities would live in a way healed as the rest of the world is being taken out, if you want to say. And so I truly believe that what the Lord is asking of us is that we get ready. We're not panicking. Just our prayers, our commitment to Jesus and Our Lady, to the Holy Church, our commitment to all that God has shown us with our dogma and doctrine, the sacred scriptures. It's a time now where we really have to get ready. So we're going to do that Monday. We're going to go through a little prayer and just ask the Lord to help us get through what we have to get through. He's called us. He's predestined us to live at this time, and he's given us the book of heaven to get through this time. This is why it's so important that we hear what the Lord is saying and just say, okay, let's make sure that if this is what God is asking, we get her done, as they say. So the Declaration of the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints. On February 25th, 1994, the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints answered to the request that has been proposed to it and declares on the part of the Holy See the non-obstar for the opening of the cause of the beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, a laywoman, Third Order Dominican. Everything, however, according to the instructions which are established in the enclosed letter of March 25th, 1994, written to the most excellent and reverend Monsignor or Archbishop Carmelo Cassati. Great guy. Great man. He, like I said before, he was my spiritual director's best friend. They were ordained together. And my spiritual director always talked about his friend in the Vatican who's working as a bishop in the Vatican, but I never asked him any questions. I didn't say, well, who is he? You know, what is he doing? Well, Archbishop Carmelo Cassati, he worked in the Sacred Congregation of the Saints. So what happens? The church makes him the Archbishop of Trani. Who's the person that lives in the Archdiocese of Trani is Luisa. So he was a missionary of the Sacred Heart, so was my spiritual director. Archbishop of Trani, Barletta de Scalia, is in having observed all the things which must be observed by law. So he got everything ready. We were there at the opening of the cause. As a matter of fact, before that, in December of 1993, my bishop gave me permission to work with Father John Brown, who was the secretary of the cause of the cause of Luisa. And so we were there in 1994 for the opening of the cause, and it was so much fun. Everybody who knew Luisa or read about Luisa or read the writings, this is what Jesus said. He's the face of the earth is going to change. The church is going to be more holy, more beautiful, more perfect than it's ever been. And so everybody was really excited when we were there. And the night before was Father John's ordination to the priesthood. And that next day he was named, secretary of the cause. The reason that was 1996 that, we went to the secret archives of the Vatican with Father John Brown. Father John Brown said, we need people in the divine will for the United States. And he said, would you do it? And I said, sure. And I asked my bishop, and my bishop said in 1993, yes, you have a wonderful time, basically. Not in those words, but he was happy for me. The Monsignor Carmelo Cassati, MSC, Archbishop of Trani, titular Diocese of Nazareth. See, when the Muslims took over Jerusalem or Israel, Nazareth was given to Trani, as they would be the titular bishop of Nazareth to keep that diocese open when it was overrun. So the cause of the beatification was October 19th, 1994, the servant of God, Luis Picaretta, the Third Order Dominican. For the collection of the writings, see what happened was the writings, say Father Bucci had the writings. Aunt Rosaria, when everything fell apart in 1938, the priest that didn't like Luisa basically tried to destroy her. They confiscated all the books, brought them to the Vatican, because their spiritual director, Father Calvi, had rewritten the Hours of the Passion, rewritten the Virgin Mary, the Kingdom, and that was proved to be heretical. It wasn't Luisa's writings, because they asked Luisa, your writings are condemned. Do you condemn these writings? She says, absolutely. She says, they are not the words of Jesus. So she even verified that this was not Jesus. So when Cardinal Ratzinger went through it, he realized that it wasn't Luisa that was condemned. It was the writings that her spiritual director had rewritten. So the writings that were dispersed, Aunt Rosaria gave Father Bucci volume 35 and 36. Luisa was still writing volume 36. Volume 35 was under her mattress, because she was reading it. She was going back to the volume 35 and 36 at that time when they came in, but they took all the books off the shelf, volume 1 through volume 33. And that went to the Vatican, 34, that went to the Vatican, the secret archives of the Vatican. In 1996, we were asked to go and copy all the writings. And that was a delight too, because Jesus said, when these writings come out, the face of the earth is going to change, and it's going to change for the good. It's going to change for getting ready for the kingdom to be established. So the tribunal of the Archdiocese, Trani, Barletta, Biscaglia, began a process about the life and virtues in general, as well as the miracles and supernatural gifts of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. She was made a servant of God the year after she died. Having to collect the writings attributed to her according to the code of canon law. Now, what happened was the writings were Father Bucci went to Archbishop Carata and said, read, here's 35. He read them. He studied them. And then when the cause was coming, he brought the writings to Archbishop Carata. He says, you got to read this. So Archbishop Carata read 35. So the second person to read the writings, 35 and 36, was Archbishop Carata. And he read everything, and he was so enamored. A priest came in, and he said, you got to read these writings. And the priest read the writings and then left Italy and brought them to the United States. So they've been in the United States now for quite a number of years, since the 70s. And the sad part is the church wants those writings, wants the original, to verify, is this exactly what Luisa said in her writings? And at this point, there's still a little divisions out there, and they're not surrendered to the Vatican yet, but they're going to be, because Jesus said one day when all the writings are together, he says they're going to be on a table, and people are going to be in this room. They'll be spiritualized and divinized. And as they walk, they're going to be sharing, just, they're not talking. As you walk, this light of the divine will is going to bring about the face of the earth to transform. It's what God's got planned. I can't wait to see it. I really can't wait to see it. It's going to be great. So getting back to this, it says they having to collect the writings attributed to her. So at this point, there's two writings, volume 35, 36, that are not surrendered yet to the Vatican. And that sort of like bothers them. You know what I mean? If we want them all, okay, they should be there. According to canon law, conforming to the norms issued by John Paul II on the 7th of February, 1993, We ordered all those who may have been in possession of any object or writings on any subject, which may have for the author for of the servant of God, return them in due promptness to us, to Trani, personally or through the postulator cause, Monsignor Posa, the House of Divine Providence in Bari. Those who wish to retain the originals of the writing may present duly authenticated copies. So that's what they've done. I really truly believe the writing should get back. They should all be together. They should all be together so God can do what he has planned. But they gave duly authenticated copies of the writings. So this is one of the reasons Archbishop Pichieri kept on saying, you gotta understand, you're in the family of Luisa. This is going to, the kingdom's coming. We all have to work together. We have to pray together. We can't have these divisions anymore. Furthermore, we remind everyone and each of the faithful that they be Ecclesiastes, religious or laity, that the code of canon law directs them to give us information on everything which may shed light on the reputation of the sanctity of the servant of God, as well as the miracles which have occurred or may occur through her intercession. And that's the other thing. There are so many miracles that are happening through Luisa. So many miracles are happening. Jesus wants us to know how much he loves his little newborn. So like for most of the saints, you need a miracle to become a blessed, and then you need a miracle to become a saint. You're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles. This is not ordinary. This is extraordinary. If you're listening to the titles, we're reading 40 days and 40 nights of the titles of Luisa that Jesus gave to her. This is astonishing. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? Who is she? You know, that Jesus himself would say these heavenly titles, giving her these heavenly titles, these divine attributes, if you want to say, to Luisa. Who is she? That Jesus himself would say, I want the world to know about Luisa. So we went through all the writings and got all the titles, and it's 8,000 titles. I thought there was 2,200 titles, because when I asked how many we had, I said, how many are on a page? It's about 100. It was more than that. It was like 200 on each. No, it was more than that. It's 200 titles in, for a day that we have, and it's 40 days and 40 nights. So it's astonishing. When we get to know Luisa, we know God's going to be doing something way beyond what he did with the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God. What Jesus gave to Luisa is how to live in the will of God. That's the true life of Jesus and Mary. It's just astonishing. So he says, anything we want to know the miracles that have occurred or may occur through her intercession. Lastly, we order that the present edict be affixed on the doors of the Curia and the parish churches and the rectories of our archdiocese for a period of 3 months, that it be brought to the attention of the faithful in all those dioceses in which there may be found writings of the servant of God in a manner in which the ordinary of the place will deem it most opportune, that he may moreover give this matter the maximum disclosure, even by printed means given in Trani from the See of the Curia in November 19th, 1994. That was the day before the opening of the cause. Now here's the homily of Archbishop Cassati, given at the opening of the cross for the beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. This was on the feast of Christ the King. Think about that. Jesus Christ the King. He said to Luisa in 1925, the church is promoting the feast of Christ the King without realizing that this is get the world ready to promote the feast of the divine will. Everything is in stages, he says. So with the feast of 1925, the feast of Christ the King, it's Jesus is King, he says. And then he says to Luisa, but where are my people? Where are the people of my kingdom? And he says to Luisa, the church is getting ready for a great day that's coming where everyone in the Holy Church will be living this feast of Christ the King, and they are going to recognize that they are the children of this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. So he says, my dearest brothers and sisters, for Corrado this evening, it is certainly the day. It is the evening of great importance. And even if we cannot have present here all its citizens, your presence is particularly significant. You are citizens of Corrado who wish to honor one of your own citizens, and in particular way, because your Luisa was first to honor you. Starting this evening, he says, we must add in awe and fear. We are opening this process. See, why is he saying this? Not because he's scared. What God is going to do for us recognizing Luisa, the world is going to be in awe and the world is going to be in fear because of what you're going to recognize, what God has planned for his people. And the fear is basically where we are not 100% with God. We're not perfected as God, as Jesus says, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. That's the fear. So he says, we open this process and trusting it to God that it will unfold conforming to all the laws and rules, but at the same time with speed or slowness that God reserves for all things in his, in all things, all of his things. So it's, we'd like to see this thing done yesterday, really. So he says, God is not in a hurry like us. There for him, 1,000 years are like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. We are the ones in a hurry. That is why we do so many bad things, because we are always in such a big hurry. God is not in a rush. Time is in his hands. Therefore, when and how this process will conclude is known only to God. And it concluded 9 years later. And Archbishop Pietrari, I told you that I think last week or the week before, he was so happy. I mean, he knew, because reading Luisa, he knew that everything was going to change on the face of the earth. This is why he was so happy. So he says, we only wish to place ourselves in Jesus's hands and say what we want to fulfill his will, because if we do not dedicate ourselves, we are also going against the thoughts and wills of our own Luisa, who had only one single desire, and that is to fulfill the will of God. The fiat that she continually repeated was an immense desire to do only the will of God. And she presented her fiat by sacrificing herself. And that's what Jesus says, to live in the divine will. It's the martyrdom of martyrdoms. To live in the divine will is to give up all worry, all fear, all anxiety, all complaints, all negativity to the point of all sin. To die to your ego and your will. See, when Adam disobeyed God, he followed Lucifer. I will not serve, I will not obey. And he had to leave paradise. So we've been on earth basically under Adam for 6,000 years. And now what's happening? A new beginning is happening for humanity. A new beginning. And this new beginning is to begin to live the life that Adam lost. To begin to live the true life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So for many years, almost her entire life she was bedridden, many times in great pain and overwhelmed with much of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a young child, even before her illness, she saw our Christ asking her for assistance in the passion, in suffering the passion, to carry the cross, and she was willing. From that moment, the rest of her long life was a continuous sacrifice. In our human terms, we could ask, for what reason did this woman live her entire life bedridden? What could have been the reason for such a life? With today's mentality and the diabolical theories of euthanasia, someone would probably have killed her. For what did this bedridden life serve? For what did the life of a small woman serve, whom, among other things, upon her death, could not be made to lie in a coffin? And the special casket had to be made in the shape of the letter L. Why? Because her body could not be straightened out. her spine was fused because of sitting in bed all her life. So what did that life serve, humanly speaking? We must have eyes of God. And if it was the life of one who was willingly climbed upon the cross, having known the will of God, said, "Here I am. Your will be done." Not for 3 days or for 3 years, but for 60 years on the cross. Archbishop Pietri said it was 70 years on the cross, bedridden. This sacrifice, this gift, was this offering enters directly into the chalice of the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Luisa, with her sacrifice, becomes the one who makes reparation. Luisa makes restitution for the sins of others. Therefore, this life becomes heroic. God wanted her alive because he was grateful for her sacrifice that she freely gave to him. Before such generosity, one should not marvel then if Luisa had particular visions, if Luisa also had some particular insights in her writings, if Luisa had been able to speak about God in a determined way, and if Luisa speaks about God as God's love, who immolates himself for humanity, whom he has made in his image and likeness, who was once lost, who comes to himself and takes the trouble to bring that soul back. If God was so humbled, then well spent were my more than 60 years in a bed of the cross, she said. Her sufferings, we're not going to go through that. We're cowards, basically. You get a sliver and everybody knows about it. Did you know I got this sliver over here? Everybody, it's like, you know, Luisa, you're going to recognize Luisa's willingness to suffer. You will see that it makes sense then that it is no longer a useless life the way men think. It becomes a more precious life because it collaborates with the crucifixion of Jesus for the salvation of the world. We will never know if one day in the hereafter, when we arrive at our Father's house, if God wishes to receive us into his house, if maybe then we will see the value of the souls who have immolated themselves for Jesus. And if the world were still standing, maybe we should give credit, not to our techniques and to our people's skills in knowing the ways how to quarrel, but maybe we should give credit to these hidden souls who sacrifice in order to compensate for the tide of sin in the world. And he says, we saw a flood 2 weeks ago, the damage provoked by a small earthquake. And if a small earthquake of that kind can bring about so much damage to all nature, what damage does a soul obstinate in sin do? Then we can realize and not be astonished if at certain moments God asks, soul, will you give me a hand? That is the reason for the invitation to Luisa. Souls, will you give me a hand? Jesus said to her. My redemption is enough, but I need other souls to participate with me in this Calvary, in this sacrifice, because man never grows tired of offending God. Therefore, my dear ones, we must try to see Luisa by her light and not try to seek in her writing something that we might not be able to understand. We will not understand unless we put ourselves in Luisa's light. If we do not put ourselves in the light of God, who asks of this soul reparation, this soul suffering, this soul sacrifice, this soul the cross, this soul's Calvary, this soul blood and life, what restitution can I give to my God for the sins of the world? I see myself as a rationalist. I see myself as a schemer. And if I see that I want to reason like a man, I am off the path. With God, either you love him and he takes you where he wants you, or our rationalization is of no use. God has given us intelligence so that we can love him, not to engage in criticizing him, not debating his plan of love. Luisa never did this. She offered herself, she sacrificed herself, and God loved and bestowed privileges upon Luisa. I hope that Luisa's writings may penetrate the hearts of men in one way or another and also be understood. We certainly have an immense responsibility because Luisa is not a saint like all the others. Luisa was a saint placed on a cross. On the cross, Christ received insults, Christ was ridiculed. Christ was scorned. And therefore, we should not be astonished if Louisa has received some of those things as well. It was necessary for her in order to be more like crucified Christ. She had asked to participate in his passions. My dear ones, Louisa's phenomenon, although she was born, she died, and was buried in Corrado, is a phenomenon difficult to understand. They love her more outside of Corrado. The New World loves her more. That becomes truly a problem with incessant prayer for us, that they truly understand the thought of Louisa, the writings of Louisa, that it be understood, above all her spirit, because today we live in a world where sorceries and fortune tellers and spiritists and many others say they see God. They see the Madonna. They see the saints. So many others say that they see the devil. In a world full, very full of these realities, of these miseries, it becomes easy for us to run to the place where there is a fortune teller. And it's easy to run to the place where some fellow says he has seen Jesus Christ. He has seen the Madonna. We have flocks of these people, even our own city, who run night and day back and forth and search for those who have seen the Madonna, for those who have seen St. Michael, those who have seen Christ, in search for those who sweat blood, who sweat this, who sweat that. We go about and search for emotions, but faith, our religion, it's not emotions. We cannot be emotional people who follow fortune tellers, who follow visionaries, people who go after, even after the devil. My dear ones, open your eyes, because the world, and maybe even Corrado, is full of people who run to and fro. To understand Louisa, we must go, I repeat, to the one point alone, the fiat, your will be done. We have no other choice that your will be done, meant for her an entire life upon the cross. Fiat, I accept. And then we can say that we are in tune with Louisa. Now, I do not know if I will be able to explain myself, but I would like to say a few words to these friends who have come from America, because I have said they are here in the name of Louisa, and her writings have spread among them and is still developing among very many. But perhaps it is over there that they could be a greater danger in which they could misunderstand Louisa. So let us hope that I will be successful in explaining myself a little. He says, I hope I get this. Okay, I think I have. He says this. Dearest priests, consecrated souls, and faithful of our diocese, Louisa Picaretta died in Corrado on March 4th, 1947. It has been 50 years since her death. And while in Corrado, she continued to be remembered as Louisa La Santa, the saint. In very many parts of the world, her name is known because of her writings. These are composed primarily of her diaries, which were handwritten by Louisa, in obedience to her confessors. In them, we see the continuous preoccupation of wanting to imitate Jesus Christ in the best ways, placing herself in harmony with the will of God. She prayed ardently that the kingdom of the divine will would be established on earth. And for this to happen, it is necessary for men to begin to know this ardent desire of God, because no one can appreciate a gift without having experienced it. The divine will is the most precious thing that can be imagined. And it is unveiled to us in the measure in which God deigned to make it known. St. Paul prayed that we would have full knowledge of the divine will and in every wisdom and spiritual intelligence. Unfortunately, the divine will is a great unknown. Notwithstanding the fact that it is spoken so much of in sacred scripture, it is because our sin brings us overbearingly to do our own human will, turning away from the divine will. The servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, urges us to immerse ourselves in the will of God. According to Louisa, God created Adam in his image and likeness, adding a gift all his, the gift of his most adorable will. So Adam might act and live as a little God capable of conversing with his creator. On the 50th anniversary of the death of Louisa La Santa, might be for us all an occasion for attentive study of her writings in order to feel closer to Louisa. We also pray for the good outcome of the cause of her beatification, and that occurred. And it would be in the will of God that the servant be exalted to the high altar with affection to Archbishop Monsignor Archbishop Cassati, MSC, Monsieur de Sacre Coeur. Again, when you listen to the bishops, the archbishops, they understood, Louisa. They were given a great grace as they read to enter into this life that Louisa possessed. And great things are coming. Amazing things are ready to happen. And God is asking us to get ready for this. He's asking us to read, to study, to get ready for this great outpouring of love, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon all the earth, where everyone, Jesus says, will be Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.